In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We have a fantastic new icon in the sanctuary. You may not be able to see it exactly where you're sitting. It's an icon at the very top of the high place, right behind me. It's an icon of Mary. It's known as the Theotokos of the Sign. It's a very, very ancient image. It's one that can be found in the catacombs that date back even to the very first century. And like all icons, this icon invites us into a relationship with Christ. That's what icons do. That's their function. They invite. Through them, the kingdom of heaven bursts into the time and space of the here and now with the message that Christ is in our midst. That's why we say that so often. Icons are constantly saying that to us as well. The invitation given to us by these icons is to enter and to enjoy the fellowship of the Master. The icon arrived on Wednesday of this week. Wednesday was a rainy day, very rainy, and the workmen were scheduled to arrive around 7:30. And I was busy getting the girls ready for school. At around 10 minutes before 7, the doorbell rings. I was upstairs, still in my pajamas, looking for a toothbrush. The girls came upstairs to say that someone was at the door, and I told them, "Don't worry, don't open the door. I'll be down in a minute. If somebody really wants to see me before 7 a.m., then they will still be there after I brush my teeth." But they didn't wait. Doorbell, doorbell, doorbell. Okay. Again. And they began to become a little bit agitated, feeling like now I'm a genie in a bottle, easily summoned up even at the crack of dawn. Doorbell, doorbell, doorbell. Okay, okay, good Lord, let me get some pants on. Bruce was at the door. Bruce is one of our neighborhood regulars, a man without a home. "Father," he said, "do you have any of those meal vouchers? I could really use one." "Bruce, it's not even 7 o'clock in the morning. It's raining, hard. You're wet, I'm wet. I'm feeding my children, and I have workmen coming to the church in 20 minutes. "I see, Father, but how about the meal voucher?" "Hold on, Bruce." So I go back inside, and I take my time looking for the grocery card. "Here it is, Bruce." "How much is it worth, Father?" $20. "Great, but since it's a card, Father, you know I need money for the bus to get to the market. Do you have $5? "Bruce, we have this conversation every time you visit. The grocery cards, those are the only things that we have. And no, I don't have $5. And this was true, although I did have $3. And no doubt there was a roll of quarters in my car for parking. "Thank you, Father. Goodbye, Bruce." And I closed the door a little harder than was necessary. And in that moment, I experienced a touch of hell, of actual hell. Our Lord tells a parable this morning, and he reveals in that parable a very big secret. He tells the nations that he is not a God who rules from far away in some distant heavenly realm. He's not a God who throws thunderbolts from across the universe. He's not way up there while we live our lives way down here. The parable reveals Christ is always in our midst. He identifies and shares his life with each and every one of us, and especially with those who suffer. And so life with one another, you and I, our lives together, is also always life with Christ. When I share with you, I am also sharing with Christ. When you enter into the personal space of a friend who needs you, you are entering into the personal space of Jesus Christ as well. A holy, sacred, and mystical space. In the parable, the sheep show compassion, and the presence of Christ is unlocked. When you visit a sick friend because you love them, there are not two people in the room, but there are three. There's you and your sick friend, and then there's the Son of God. The goats, however, did not show compassion. For them, Christ always remains hidden. on the outside of a locked door. When Bruce came to my door early on Wednesday morning, I fed a hungry man, but that did not come from a place of compassion. It didn't. Here I was, starting a new day in my comfortable home, spending time with my wonderful children, getting ready to welcome a beautiful new icon into the church. And Bruce comes to my door, bringing Christ with him, and I did not experience that as joy. I did not stop and give thanks to God for the gift of my relationship with Bruce, the human being. I complained and mumbled under my breath about the burden of Bruce, the human need. That, brothers and sisters, is a touch of hell. Like the goats, I received Christ, but I said, no, thank you, that's not what I want. Because I did not receive Bruce as a brother, I experienced Christ as a bother. A bother. That is hell, according to our church's teaching. That's our understanding of judgment and condemnation. And I want to be very clear about this. Hell is not a place where bad people are sent to experience an eternity of physical pain and torture. That's not true. God is not an angry God who says, you better behave, and if you don't, I'm sending you to a bad, bad place. As we say often, God is not a spiritual terrorist trying to scare us into better behavior. If you read the Bible from front to back, two things are very clear. God is love. You've got to read the whole thing. God is love. And there is no place where God is not. He's never, ever, 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 ever absent. We might turn away from God, but the Father does not turn away from us. We are never forsaken, never abandoned, and never, ever, ever thrown away. Now, there is a last judgment, and there is condemnation, and yes, there is fire in hell. But the fire in hell is at the same time the fire of heaven. At the very same time, it is the fire of God's love. All light is always heavenly light. It doesn't come from anywhere else. All fire is spiritual fire flowing from the heart of God. All radiance is the love of Christ in motion. It is love for you and for me, always seeking us out, always knocking on the door. And either we will experience that love and light as joy, or we will experience it as torment, something that we can't and don't want. Bruce showed up at my door, and I didn't want that. Christ showed up at my door, and I was annoyed, even a bit angry. I didn't have to wait for the last judgment. I was beginning to live out my own condemnation in the here and now. At that moment, I was much more goat than sheep, for certain. C.S. Lewis writes that ultimately there are only two kinds of people. Only two kinds of people. Those who say to God, thy will be done. And those to whom God says in the end, thy will be done. Right? It's all about saying thy will be done. Either we say it to God, or in the end, God just finally gives up and says it to us. Thy will be done. C.S. Lewis continues, all that are in hell choose it. The doors of hell are locked from the inside where we are. Brothers and sisters, our Lord calls us this morning to unlock these doors, to unlock them. And there is no threat involved. Christ does not come to us and say, you better unlock the door of your heart and let me in, or else. He does not say, you better start keeping the rules and playing nice, or you'll pay. God is love. And the world will know that we are Christ's disciples if we love one another even as he has loved us. The doors of hell may be locked on the inside by our choice, but even at the last judgment, even at the last judgment, when the Son of Man comes in glory, surrounded by his angels, even then we are told that he comes inviting us into life. In the book of Revelation, the very last book of Scripture, the story of the apocalypse, the story of the end of time, in that book, Christ speaks these words to you and to me. He says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will eat with him, and he will eat with me. You see, in the end, the parable of the sheep and the goats, this parable, in the first place, is not a parable that's a warning. In the first place, it's not a warning. In the first place, the parable of the Last Judgment is an invitation. It's an invitation. In this parable, Christ is not telling us necessarily what we should and should not do as the first order of business. He's telling us where to find him. That's so much more important. This parable is a treasure map. A treasure map. If you desire Christ, he stands with those who suffer. He loves those who live with pain and despair. He lives with those who struggle and those who weep. Find them, and you have found Christ. Love them, and you love Christ. Suffer with them, and you suffer with Christ. Offer yourselves to them in love, and you offer yourselves to the Lord who first offered himself on the cross for the life of the world. Reject those who suffer, and you reject Christ. Experience them as a bother, and Christ will be a bother to you as well, both now and for all eternity. I will see Bruce again, and count on it. We cross paths once every couple of months, sometimes more frequently. He knows that the church has grocery cards. I hope he doesn't ring my bell before 7 o'clock anytime soon. But if he does, that's okay. That's okay. Bruce helped me remember the meaning of the parable of the Last Judgment. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for each and every Bruce in my life. Give thanks for the Bruces in your life. They remind us that Christ is always in our midst, that he stands at the door of your locked heart and he knocks. He wants to come in and break bread with you and with me, and to do so in the kingdom. He wants to give us a meal voucher beyond imagination. And then he wants us in turn to feed the whole world with the rich gifts of his goodness. Amen.